Joshua, the 7th chapter, I'll begin reading in the 11th verse. Let's stand and honor the Lord by the reading of His Word together. And it goes something like this. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed My covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the cursed thing from among you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we just ask You to bless the reading of Your Word. And Father, we just stand ready today. Use me as an earthen vessel and nothing more, that the very Word of God might come down from heaven today. Teach us the things You would have us to know, how You would have us to live, how You would have us to love in this trying time upon earth. In Jesus' blessed name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. It seemed like that there are adversities that happen across our nation and now across the world. And it seems like that God stands back waiting for things to come back to Him. And sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. It seems like that we're now in a time that is of great danger, and you've been watching the news, you know what goes on. And you know what's been going on, but we don't know what's going to go on. I think it's time greater than now than ever before. And I like to preach revivals. I preached a great revival 2 weeks ago down in the southern part of the state. And I've got to tell you, it was the most refreshing thing that I've done in a long time. The first service began with most of the church coming to the altar, bowing down on bended knees, and recommitting themselves to Almighty God. And I say that the time has now come that we all need to do that. Our nation as a whole needs to turn back to God, and we're going to look at some things that will make that more evident. As we look at the children of Israel, it's easy to laugh at them, and it's easy to say, well, we know the rest of the story, so why did they do the things that they did and continue to do? So we'll have to back up a little bit into chapter 6 and look at the children of Israel. Now keep in mind, they set out on a journey that should have taken 11 days. And they accomplished that in 40 years because of their disobedience to God and because that God said, you're not ready, you don't trust me, you're not faithful. I have given you the promised land for you to go in and take the land. I'll fight the battles for you. I'll do everything for you that I promised that I would do. And all you have to do is believe in me and trust in me. It took them 40 years to realize that God wasn't faking. God was telling the truth. God wanted to do for them great and mighty things that had never been done for them before. They had never fought a battle before. They had never even been at war before. They had only been instructed about what to do and when to do it. They had made no decisions of their own. And so there they were out in the middle of the wilderness. What else could they do but trust God? But they decided, because they wore the robe of flesh that you and I all wear today, that they decided that they would just take things upon their own selves and do things themselves. And after 40 years of preparation, after 40 years of God getting them ready and molding them and letting one generation of disobedient people die off, He said, you're finally ready to go into the promised land. And they did. They crossed the River Jordan on dry ground. And God held the mighty waters back so that they could walk across on dry ground. And they were ready to possess the land. First battle that they would have to fight would be the mighty battle of Jericho. All the way down in Sunday school, we teach our children about how the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And we know that God had to have a hand in that because they did not do one thing to fight that battle other than be obedient to God. Now, we need to establish some things and get that right. They just had to be obedient to God, and they circled around the city for 6 days, and on the seventh day, they circled around the city 7 times. They blew the trumpets, and they all yelled out with a mighty voice, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. We know that those that were inside, and there were mighty men of war, were so astounded by this that they ran and hid because they said, "We can't go up against their God. We can't do battle with their God because God has His hand of protection upon them, and we are no force against God." So they took the city, and God said, "Go in, bring the silver and gold into the treasury, but everything else leave, and don't take one possession for yourselves." All they had to do now from that point is be obedient to God. At that point, one man only, Achan, decided that he would just get into some things that he kind of liked. And he'd take them back to his tent, and he'd take them for his possession. That wasn't that God had anything against Achan or Achan doing anything. He just wanted his people to be obedient to Him and trust in Him. And today, the message that if I didn't give you anything else to tell you, it's simply this. God wants us to be obedient to Him and trust in Him, and He will save our great nation today, even though it's in the face of all kinds of adversity like we've never known before. Our nation is not beyond hope today if we'll trust in God and be obedient to Him. So they walked out. The sin seemed to go unnoticed, that Achan had taken things back to his tent, dug a hole and buried it. And if you'll read more of the Scripture, and I'm just going to touch on a few of the highlights today. And so the next city that they went to was in the city of Ai. We don't talk about the city of Ai much. You don't hear a lot about it because the Israelites were so bold. And can't you see them just strutting around thinking about the mighty battle of Jericho that they'd fought? Can't you see them just thinking, "We didn't know we were that good at fighting wars. We didn't know that we were men of battle. And we didn't know that we could overtake that city just by marching around us." And they'd get so afraid of us that they just simply give up. You see, many times today, we take things back into our own hands. We start giving ourselves credit for things that happen around us when all the glory needs to go to God in order for Him to bless us. And so they said, "We'll go look the city of Ai over." This is in chapter 7. "And we'll decide just exactly what we need to do to overtake that city. It's not nearly as big as Jericho. It's not nearly as mighty as Jericho." So they said, "Let's just send maybe 2,000 to 3,000 men. This will be a piece of cake." One missing ingredient. God wasn't with them. God will not help you on a personal level. He'll not help our country on a level if we forsake Him and entertain sin in our lives and in our country. We're going to get to that in just a minute. And so they went to Ai, and they were going to go to war like they'd thought they were capable of doing. 36 men were immediately killed. The rest of them threw down any weapons of war that they had and took off running back for Jericho. Scared to death. God wasn't in it because of the sin of one man. God wasn't in it because of their disobedience. God wasn't in it. He didn't have His protecting hand upon them. And He was not going to allow them to win a battle without Him. And so that brings us up to today. We need God's protecting hand upon our country. I have preached many times about the nuclear warheads that are all over the world that are aimed at us right now. But if you watch the news the other night, Friday night, eight men only, went into the city of Paris and just absolutely brought the city to their knees. There were people killed all over the city, in various places of the city. There were things happening that would absolutely turn your stomach there. I would say God didn't have His protecting hand upon that city. Amen? You're with me so far. Eight men walked into various parts of the city, armed to the teeth. It talked about, and we're going to talk about some ugly things here, but I think it needs to be brought out. It said that they began shooting from balconies. They began shooting people that was all around them. And you know, it's fair to say that our churches are under attack today. It's happening all over the country, even in the city of St. Louis. Churches are being burned. People are being shot at. People are being killed inside our churches today. I think it's time that we turn back to God and give God all the glory for what He can do. We have no protection of our own without the mighty hand of God upon us. They cleaned it up on the news and they said that some of the people there were dismembered. What they done, they shot them while they were still alive. They cut their heads off and rolled them around like bowling balls. These men are ruthless because they're not of God. They wore protective clothing on them, but was armed with explosives. And they knew that if they got caught, the proper thing to do would get as close to those that were about to arrest them and set these bombs off. And they knew and have studied this, that their own bone fragments might kill some of the people around them. These are ruthless people that have nothing other to do than to want to kill. Now let's get this part right. Christians, wherever they are. There has been approximately 250,000 Christians in other lands, in other countries, that have been killed and beheaded today. And it's almost like it's open season on Christians today, that they try to find where they are, they persecute them, they kill them, and they cut their heads off. And so that brings us to our protection. Why hasn't it got any worse here in America yet? I believe that it's coming this way. All indicators are that it's coming this way. The ISIS group that's doing all the horrible, brutal killings has said they have a desire to come here because there's so many Christians across the country. I hope when they get here, they can determine which is the Christians and which aren't. Because we, as supposedly a Christian nation, have done things to God that would be just absolutely despicable just a few years ago. We've turned our back so far upon God that I think it's going to be hard for them to determine who's the Christians and who aren't. Because I think also the first thing they'll do when they ask people if they're Christians, most will deny that if they think their life's in jeopardy. We have gotten so far off into the flesh and out of the Spirit that it doesn't bother us at all just to even deny Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so we say, Lord, they're coming. Lord, they're going to be here soon. Lord, it's going to be a terrible thing when they get here. And so we need Your hand of protection upon us. And so, in return for that, here's what we're going to do. We're going to continue killing 147 babies an hour on a yearly basis all throughout our nation. Lord, we need Your hand of protection upon us. And so what we intend to do, we're going to legalize same-sex marriage. But Lord, we want You to reach Your mighty hand of protection down upon us and honor us. Lord, we have passed all sorts of laws that make us feel a little bit better about ourselves. In our flesh, which is an absolute abomination against God, and God will not place His protective hand upon us if we continue to allow it to happen. Men and women now have taken the institution of marriage, they've made a mockery out of it, and they no longer live in holy wedlock anymore. It has become fashionable, and we've passed over the 50% bracket, for men and women just to live together, which is also an abomination to God. But God, we need Your protecting hand upon us, and we know Scripture says that that's not right, that's adultery, but we need Your protective hand upon us. We're going to kill our babies. We're going to pass laws that approve sins. We're going to live together. And now we get to the scary part. We're about to turn our nation over to a group we call the Millennials. Now, the Millennials are a group of young people. And you've seen many of them in our college institutions today. And only 48% of them even believe that there is a God. These people will go into office and they will rule our country. The Lord Terry is coming. The other day there was a young preacher that decided to go into one of those protests, and he took his Bible with him. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning, about why don't people just read the book? And this would be a better place to live in. The problem is we've gotten so far away from the book that people don't believe it anymore. But a young man, a young minister went in. He was going to read the book. They took the book away from him and stomped it on the ground. And they beat him up and ran him out of their midst. They didn't want to hear what the Holy Word of God had to say about what they were doing. Yet we stand up and tolerate these things in the name of political correctness. And we say, Lord, we need You to protect us from these infidels. But the infidels call us the great infidels because, you know, we go out and we sing that song, stand up for Jesus. But when it comes time to stand up for Jesus, nobody stands up anymore. God is not important to us anymore as a nation. God is on the back burner, and we have overruled Him through our legal system to the point that it must make Him sick to His stomach. Revelation talks about the lukewarm church of the Laodiceans. And He says, because you're only lukewarm, you make me sick to my stomach, and I'll spew you out of my mouth. I just wonder what He looks at as a whole when He looks down upon our mighty nation that we think we have. And so, you know, if we had a battle to fight, we are known as a nation with great warfare. If we just knew who to fight. We have gotten to the point where there are dangerous things happening in our midst right now, and we don't even know who to fight. We don't even know who they are. And we don't know how many are coming. We don't know what they're going to bring with them. It's been said that it's radical Islam that's the problem. Do you know that there's 4.5 million Muslim people in our nation today? And it's gaining more and more every day. Now, I don't have any idea which one of them are in the ISIS community. I don't have any idea which one of them hate Christians. If you'd like to really get into a good Bible study, trace the problems that are going on in our mighty nation today all the way back to Abraham. That's where it started from. And it says it's not going to get any better. Amen? And so, I pose several problems this morning about the way that our country is going. Even the leadership of our country. And listen, Christian brothers and sisters, a lot of it's our own fault. We haven't stood up for Christ like we need to stand up. We haven't taken a stand against sin like we need to take a stand against sin. We have let ungodly men get into political office now and make decisions that concern each and every one of us. I noticed this morning when I was in here that
probably half the congregation is pregnant, as near as I can tell. Is that? I noticed that, I think that's a good thing, but just an observation that I had. And I want to ask you this on a serious note, though. And there's children all over the congregation today. That's a wonderful thing to have children. We can't do anything any more important than to raise our children with a godly background, teaching them what this good book has to say. But how many of us, I heard some grandmothers and grandfathers kind of gloating a while ago about their grandchildren. How many of us would take those children in our arms, hold them there and look in their eyes, and you say, is that young man or woman, what is he going to be when he grows up? Well, we're hoping that he'll become a politician. What? Did I say that? No, we don't say that. Because our legalistic center, we made a mockery out of it. And so if we don't raise our children up to take a stand for Christ and to say, we hope that they become politicians because we hope that they can take a stand in the highest office in our country, and they can stand up for God and make decisions based on not what the Constitution says as much as what this good book here says, then there's going to be ungodly people that will assume those same positions in office, and they will make decisions that concern me and you and everyone else. And so we get back to the things that we're legalizing now. All over the country, marijuana is being legalized. Alcohol is not that important anymore. People can get high on marijuana. And the reason they can do it is because we've decided now the best way to cut crime down is just legalize it. I hope we don't legalize rape and murder and robbery and all these other things that are going on in our nation today just so the crime rate can go down. Because it will separate us farther and farther and farther away from God and what God would have us to do and how God would have us to live. I can't see but one hope that this country has. I've painted you an awful picture this morning that I believe from the bottom of my heart is going on right now. Oh, we worry about a lot of things in our country because we've forgotten how to love. We've forgotten about the church. We've forgotten that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for us. We've forgotten that He shed His life's blood to make us whole again, to cleanse us from the sins that are going on around us. Let me tell you, the things that we're legalizing now, if the men in office that are legalizing and voting on these were Christians, it would turn their stomach to vote in a way to have these legalized. But they take pride in it. And they continue to legalize more and more ungodly, abominable things. Our country needs a great revival to break out across our nation like it's never been before. And now, let's clear the air about something. I want to explain why I think revival needs to break out. Revival is not a meeting where we get together for 4 or 5 days and we have some different babbling preacher come in that you're not used to and preach, you know, and we come and listen to him, and then we go home, then it's over. We need a revival where the Christian people stand up for God. We need a revival where when the Christian people go out of the church, they get somebody else and they bring them back in. We need a revival where all the ungodly people that are outside the church needs to come in and walk that aisle and come down here and confess their sins to Almighty God and have their life changed as a result of it. That's the kind of revival that our nation needs. Acts, the 5th chapter. There was a great revival going on. The apostles were preaching like they'd never preached before. They were preaching hard sermons about those that were in the church. It seemed like that those that were in the church were the most resistant to the good news of Jesus Christ. And so they put the apostles into prison. And they said, you're going to stay there until you've learned your lesson. angel of the Lord opened the doors and they walked out of prison. The doors were still locked and they were standing out on the street preaching. In verse 29 of the 5th chapter, and Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And then if you look over, they didn't know what to do with the apostles because of their boldness. If you look just a few verses ahead in verse 5, or chapter 5 of Acts, they had a decision to make. Do we obey God or do we obey men? And the others that were around them, Gamaliel was a philosopher of that time, and he said the most important thing, and this should be the motto over every church door. And this should be the motto as you enter into any town in the United States that ever even thinks they have an inkling of protection from God. Verse 38 and 39, Gamaliel said this, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. Now listen to this. This is words of wisdom. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. Then verse 39, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. Oh, when I think about that, that should be our motto over everything in the United States. I wish every time the news that came on, as these people in other lands watch our news as much as we do, they look for our weaknesses. We need to explain to them that our power and our strength and our might is protected by Almighty God. And if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's time like never before that we stood up for God like we've never stood up before. I don't care how many men we have in the military. I don't care how many warships we have in this sea and that sea. I don't care how many airplanes we have. I don't care how many nuclear missiles we have. When 8 men can come in and overthrow a complete city and do awful, awful, terrible things, it's even said that some of the people were so frightened they locked arms and gathered together in that one stadium. And the people stood up there and threw hand grenades in the midst of them as they prayed together. How can we defend that? I don't think anybody knows. But I do know that Almighty God can handle it. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. We need a great revival. We need our churches to be the most important place in town. We need to have the kind of revival that happens now, that when the doors are open, that people are standing waiting to get in to come to find out more about what this good book has to say and what we need to do so we can get our protection, that God can put His protective hand upon us and that He can deliver us from the things that are going on in the world today. I don't think there's another way. Amen? Will you agree with that? I don't think there's another way other than turning back to God and letting God protect our land from the awful things that are going on today. So I'm just going to ask you, as a piano player or an organist or somebody comes down here real quickly, I'm going to ask you today where you are, first of all, personally. I don't know about you, but I made a statement in Sunday school. I'd done a little confessing. I said, I rededicate my life every day because I think there's things going on in this world today. We can't get close enough to God. Let's stand together.